This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Aaron Fishman, an American, moved to Bali in 2011 to start a cashew nut processing factory. His social enterprise, East Bali Cashews, is the first large-scale modern cashew processing plant in Bali. Its revenue exceeds $1 million last year. It employs more than 300 staff and produced more than 800 tons of cashews. The company was assisted by KKR, the major private equity fund. You spoke to some locals and you discovered that they were planting all these cashew trees and then the nuts, and they would just ship them to India and Vietnam to be processed. So they lost out in all that dollars that they could make in the value chain. And so you got into the business. But what's been the impact so far for the community?
Farmers would harvest these cashews, and 2 weeks later they'd be out of the country with no value add at all. And we just thought, okay, there's huge potential here for creating jobs. And right now, after 2 years of processing, we have 300 jobs that we've created, 85% of which are women in those jobs. And the impact is enormous on the community. Hundreds of thousands of dollars a year are put into this very small community that where previously no job opportunities existed. And with that money, the people, our employees, create a better life for themselves and their community and their families. They improve their houses, they improve their nutrition, they improve their schooling, they improve their agriculture, they improve so much of their daily lives when they have a job. And so when you compare, say, what an NGO could do with limited funding to what a business can do, where every single year those hundreds of thousands of dollars are coming into the community, and both parties are profiting. We need the employees to process the cashews. The employees need us. It's a great sustainable system where it's a continued source of funding that comes into that community.
How much do they make, say, on an average basis before your plant was set up, and how much do they make now?
They weren't making anything before the plant was there. They were subsistence farmers with some commodity crop. So they had say 20 crops on their 1 hectare of land, and a couple of those would be commodity crops or cashews or mango, something that they could sell for cash. And so they were living on around a dollar a day. And as soon as they joined with us, the average salary, not for management staff, but just for the daily processors, so uneducated people, is around quadruple to quintuple what they previously had. So it's an enormous change. Making 400-500% as much as you used to really changes your life.
Apart from just providing jobs, what you do is you actually buy cashew nuts from the farmers themselves too. So do you buy them at fair trade prices or above market prices, for example?
What we actually do is we try and shift to improve the incomes. We don't change the market price because that's a very slippery slope and can make a lot of people in the community angry, can really affect community life if you just pay certain farmers more for their goods. And so what we try to do is say, look, cashew price is not the issue. What is the issue is the efficiency of the cashew farming industry. And so what we do is we say, okay, look, we're currently drying these cashew nuts at our factory, or traders are currently drying these nuts. What if we change that job and give that to the communities? So they dry the cashews, they sort the cashews. That alone created an extra couple hundred jobs during the cashew season. Then we said, okay, what else can we do? The cashew farmers have a hectare of land. What if we incorporate other crops into that hectare of land? Can we improve their income that way? Or can we raise the yield of cashew seeds? And so that's a much more sustainable way of improving the economy, rather than just giving them a couple percent extra on their cashew price, which we totally don't believe in. We would rather say, instead of giving you 10% more for your cashews, let's double what you can grow with your land and teach you different ways to earn a lot more income from your 1 hectare of land.
Your factory right now is in Bali, but there's a greater area. There are other islands where cashew is being grown. So are there plans to set up smaller scale plants in those regions and have scale up your impact?
Absolutely. We would love to process most of Indonesia's cashews. We're still a pretty young company. We're trying to figure out our Bali operations first, so get our recipe, if you will, down perfect, and then we will take that same concept and move it to other islands.
Do you foresee there'll be challenges there?
Absolutely. The logistics and the infrastructure as you go further east in Indonesia gets much less pronounced. So we have to figure out with our model, how do we bring everything we need from pipe fittings to spare parts to technical ability, welders, mechanics, accountants. We have to bring all of that with us and be a large enough scale so that it makes sense to process it. But absolutely, it gets more difficult as you go further east.
Bali Airport, what you notice is that travelers are mainly foreigners and tourists. So despite Bali being a tourist destination for the longest time, it appears that the prosperity is not evenly distributed. It's not really shared among the locals. What more can be done to improve the livelihood, their livelihood?
My personal, and I completely agree with you, my personal opinion is the best thing that can be done is to encourage business in areas with no economy or with a small economy. So, for example, in the rural areas of Indonesia, there is massive potential for improving business, small enterprise, large enterprise, just create jobs. And so what can be done is to improve the infrastructure there. Build roads, build airports, build seaports, build schools to educate the people there, get communications online, get water going, get power, and then you will have business grow in those areas. So whatever you can do to make business easier to do in poor areas will greatly improve the quality of life for the people there.
So your business was funded by four or five investors. Any plans to set up like a cooperative to share the profits to actually distribute that wealth, so to speak?
Absolutely. One of the biggest goals of our company is to join the farmers together. Because right now they're, last year we bought from 30,000 plots of land. And every single one of those families is connected maybe in a social way, but not in a business way. And what we know from our own experience is that when you scale, the economies improve. And so what we want to do is link those farmers together into a cooperative that would supply them with the things they need to operate their businesses better. And that's not easy to do, but it's one of the biggest goals of our company. And so we're absolutely committed to linking those farmers together and creating a business that can be run by farmers or at least the profits of that business goes to the farmers.
Your products are basically gourmet products. It comes in many flavors, which is unlike the usual casual nuts that we buy in the market. So, but yet your biggest challenge is still marketing.
Our biggest problem, not necessarily marketing, but getting products onto the shelves. Because we're a small company, and certainly there's smaller companies out there, but most of the industry is controlled by very large companies. And we have to figure out, the consumers love our products. How do we get our product into the consumer hands? That's our biggest issue. And so the best way we can do that is via education and via marketing, actually, and saying, hey, look, ask your store to stock our products. Ask your local food distributor to stock our products. They're delicious, they're tasty, they're better than what you're currently eating. So that's what we have to get our message out there is to say, get the consumers and get distributors to get our products into store shelves.
Do cashew nuts have short expiries? Would that influence the decision of a distributor whether to carry your product, say, in Kuala Lumpur or Singapore?
Actually, no. We use a great technology in our packaging that has a very long shelf life. We remove the oxygen from the bag, and we have a multi-layer packaging. So the shelf life is actually very, very long. We have some of the best packaging out there for cashew nuts. So oftentimes consumers will eat cashew nuts and they'll think, oh, they're stale. They don't have a good flavor. And it's because they've never tasted a fresh cashew nut. And what we do is we process cashew nuts in a way that it's as fresh as possible. No other manufacturer out there has cashew nuts as fresh as ours. And then we seal them in a bag and remove the oxygen so that cashew nut stays fresh for up to 18 months. So that is really, I think once consumers taste our product, they say, wow, this is a cashew nut. Yeah, that's actually a fresh cashew nut.
No preservatives used?
Exactly. No preservatives, no chemicals, none of that junk. No artificial colors, no artificial preservative, nothing like that. We only use fresh spices, fresh garlic, fresh chili, fresh lemongrass, fresh chocolate, all that kind of fresh spices from Indonesia and fresh flavorings that really come across when you taste the product.
KKR has a large retail portfolio. Can you work with them?
KKR has a lot of companies that are very, very big, and they would love to. Of course, they help us at every opportunity they can. But to sell specialty food products, it's a very small niche. It means, you know, the specialty chocolates out there, the specialty coffees out there, all the specialty snacks that are typically not huge businesses. So we need food distributors and markets that are accustomed to selling specialty food products. And so that's the biggest key, is how to get our products into the hands of people who understand how to sell products like ours.
Aaron Fishman, founder of East Bali Cashews in Indonesia. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.